Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
And welcome once again to the Worcester Reports. This is Tony Coppell, and Lorianne will be on a little later. As you may have gathered if you've listened to a few of these programs, I am fascinated by, many things, but two things in particular to do with what's going on here. One of them is to get inside the minds of missionaries, people who've come over here and just felt a call to be of service to the human race, and particular parts of the human race which are often disadvantaged, hungry, and there are plenty of them around here, and that's why they come to this particular part of the world, as well as many other parts of the world. The other thing is to understand what it's like to be one of those disadvantaged people, particularly those children, and particularly children of farm workers. About once a week, Lorianne and I have joined a kids' club in a place called Vink Riviere, and the person that's been organizing that for at least 2 years is Keisha Bucher. She is an Irish missionary. We've known her now for more than 2 years because she was here as one of the leaders when we came for our outreach after we had had mission training in Mozambique. And by the way, a school that has just been trained, partly in Mozambique and partly in South Africa, is coming here for outreach or coming to the Irish Western Cape base in Robertson. And Keisha, once again, will be one of the leaders, one of the people that help gently bring them into contact with, shall we say, some practical aspects of missionary work. So we've been at the receiving end of Keisha, but now we work with her quite a lot. In fact, she came over to have dinner with us recently, and it was a really nice evening because Keisha is such a gentle soul. She seems to be so naturally in touch with the Holy Spirit and what He is telling her she should be doing. I caught up with her as far as interviewing her just recently, and an opportunity arose before the kids' club, before the kids arrived. And so I whipped out my cell phone, which is why the quality of this recording isn't up to our normal standards. But it was good enough, I think, for you to capture what she had to say. And we spoke for a while. The kids, for some reason, were late, maybe because we'd been late, and they sort of watch out for when we're coming. And finally, they figured out we were there. And so after Keisha and I had been talking for probably 10, 15 minutes, they started knocking on the car door because we were using the car as a studio. So in this recording, I've left in just a little part of the joy and the excitement that they have when they all get together. There are about 20 of them this time, fewer than some occasions, and they were having a wonderful time. So you'll get some soundscapes from that. And then afterwards, after I'd driven Keisha back to where she lives in the Western Cape Mission House, we continued our discussion, so we'll go back to hearing what she had to say. I hope you'll find this as endearing and instructive. And if by any chance you're somebody who is considering coming into the mission field, then this will give you a good idea of the kind of things to expect. So here's my little talk with Keisha Bucher.
sitting in my car here with Keisha. She is a long-term missionary in Iris Western Cape. She's worked with Johan and Marie Fourie, who we met on the show very recently. And I just have an opportunity for a conversation with her. Keisha, when did you become a missionary originally?
I first moved to South Africa in February 2016. Before that, I was living and working in Los Angeles, California. And yeah, part of my story is that God was teaching me there that being a missionary isn't about going somewhere. It's about how you live with an outward perspective with Him. So I was also a missionary in California, but I moved to South Africa to completely give my life to ministry in 2016.
Why South Africa?
My biggest dream was to live and work in actually the middle of Africa. But after I finished my mission school in Pemba, Mozambique, I did a two-week outreach here in South Africa. And it was more that God was planting seeds in my heart here. And when I met with Johan and Marie, I really sensed their heart for investing in small beginnings and letting something grow. And so I felt I really resonate with the father heart that they carry. And so when I visited South Africa for the first time, we did the kids club ministry. We're still doing that now. And I think it was just how fragile I feel the child's well-being is here, based on their parenting and how they're growing up, that they may be really wild, but they really need security and a lot of love. And it's something like I never experienced before, even working with kids in Los Angeles or in Mozambique. It was just this kind of desperation that I felt I need to come back and I need to fulfill the need.
Now, we're talking about farm children, and we've talked about them on this program before, but you have a lot of experience now. Mm-hmm. What is the root cause of the situation that these kids find themselves in, as far as, shall we say, rebelliousness, or just mm-hmm. not really ready to listen to anything? They like to talk and shout, but where does all this come from?
I think definitely the way that the culture they're growing up in is very rough. A lot of them coming from broken families where there's not a stable father, and alcoholism. But also it's the way that people talk to each other in this culture is just shouting and hitting and punching and just being rough to get what you want or to be heard. So when someone's speaking to them with love or with a quiet voice or with gentleness, they actually don't know how to receive it. So it's a complete mind shift for them to be able to understand that someone wants to provide safety or compassion or listening ear.
And what do you feel is the future for these kids?
I think if they can learn to believe in themselves, in God's dreams for them, and also have a perspective of the world that's outside of the one that they're living in, pushes them to stay diligent in school. And then through their education, they can go further. But if not, it's a pretty hopeless situation where they'll probably end up working on a farm and falling into the same bad habits as their parents did.
Do you occasionally find a child who is naturally more talented, more outgoing, and maybe does understand a dream that's outside just being a farm worker? Does that occasionally happen? Do you find them?
Yes, definitely. I think Some of the children actually live with their grandparents, which provide a more stable home environment, which helps them to focus more in school and learn English faster. They can ask questions easily and have a conversation, and they're curious about the people that are coming from overseas, and it helps to broaden their world perspective. So definitely there's a lot of hope for them.
What languages do these children speak?
First language is Afrikaans, some English.
You see, I have an incredible high regard for people who can speak two languages. And these children can do that at this age, despite all these disadvantages. Mm. I mean, I'm blown away by that. Mm. I speak just one language, and I find it very difficult to learn another one. Don't you think that that shows that they've got one talent at least that could be turned into something really helpful and possibly lucrative?
Yes, definitely. I think that most of the children are curious about learning English, and they've learned a lot from some of our teams coming here and wanting to ask questions and engage. So that's a gift.
They seem to like meeting new people, don't they?
Yeah, they're very curious.
I mean, if you tell them where you're coming from or where you've come from, they want to know.
Here's somebody now. Hi, Franklin. I missed you.
In addition to the club for the farm children, what else occupies your time here in Robertson?
Well, twice a year we have a school, a discipleship school called the Father's House, where people are coming from all over the world for 7 weeks for a discipleship school. So we live together in a house in the mountains. And during that time, we share testimonies, we do Bible reading, and then we do teachings that help people to grow in identity in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
You know, to a casual listener, maybe somebody who isn't involved in any kind of missionary work, they might wonder why people would come here from all over the world. What is the key thing that's bringing them here? What is it that they need? What is it that they want and you're helping to supply?
Yeah, I think most people want to get away from a fast-paced Western world, and the picturesque mountains is the big catch. But then when they come and they actually experience family and community, I think that is the way God designed us to live with each other and to be a body. So it ends up meeting needs that they didn't know that they had.
You've also just come back from quite a trip around Europe. You took some time out. Tell us a little bit about that, what you went for and what happened.
Okay. During that time in Europe, I was visiting students that have come to previous schools from the Netherlands, from the UK, and gathering them together. So once they've come to South Africa, you experience this community and fellowship for 7 weeks and then get sent back out to the nations and several European countries. So what we did when we went there was to gather them together and to help create a sense of community also in the UK specifically.
You obviously get a lot of personal joy from working with people who you know that they need Jesus in their hearts and you want to bring them more of him. What else drives you? What else do you do that maybe, what's your favorite thing to do if you've got a few spare hours?
Well, I love creativity. So I think that God, yeah, he created us to reflect him with our own creativity. So if I can engage someone artistically and help them to come into their calling as an artist, as a true worshiper, I think that really drives me. I love to see musicians and designers coming into their calling and their passions, and I think that Jesus really loves it too.
You know quite a bit about IRIS and the fact that missionaries who have been trained both here and in Mozambique and other bases around the world, they go off to do remarkable things in the world. Can you give our listeners just a feel for some of the places that they end up worldwide?
Yeah, I think actually a lot of people come between high school and university. So they're going back to their university campuses and will have a bigger impact socially and being able to evangelize and spread the love of Jesus, and also just knowing who they are, the true identity, before they're going back into a university setting. I think that's really important. A lot of people go back into their workplace feeling refreshed, and then there's others that go into the mission field, which could be anywhere.
Well, it could. I mean, the mission field is not, some people think it's just somewhere in a far-off country like Laos or Thailand, but it's also in the world of business.
That's
and
right.
The world of government.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so I think that this is kind of a space where it's an incubator to grow in your faith and to know that there's like-minded individuals and family that carry the same drive and the same purpose. So you're not alone, and that God is just using this place to create a network before you go out into the world and hopefully make your community and even the nation a better place.
I want to thank you, Keisha, for sharing your heart with our listeners. Imagine for a moment that thousands of people were actually listening, which they won't be, but imagine it. In a couple of paragraphs, is there something that you'd like to say to them that you think would add to the joy in their lives?
Yeah, just remember how much Jesus loves you, that he created you for his love, to know love, to feel his love, and so much so that he sent his son to die for you. And yeah, there's no other love that will redeem everything in your life. And his pursuit is never ending, never stopping, never ceasing love.
God bless you, Keisha, and thank you so much for spending a little time with our little radio station.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing through pilgrimage and our roots. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last three broadcasts, we journeyed through growing in God in worship. It's not just about music. It can be visual art. It can involve work or ministry. Worship is also bigger than its cultural context. It doesn't matter if the worship is in Zulu or Mandarin Chinese. It doesn't matter if it's hip-hop, jazz, or music from Bethel Church in Redding, California. We also grow deeper in faith when we learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth. We learned about this through Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Yet we need to not restrict worship to be within a religious service. Our whole lifestyle can involve worship. If we put worship at the core, at the center of our lifestyle, we can grow in our relationship with God in any location. We don't have to wait to go to church to pray or to worship. We can worship God anywhere, including the workplace. Worship, ministry, and secular work can all be transformed places. Both work and ministry become more profound. Both work and ministry become more profound, and it also gives God an opportunity to bless both the work environment and the actual work that is done. You can also worship God inside your spirit no matter what you're doing. I believe this practice is a real secret of being contented in life. Worshiping God in truth also means that you are truthful about who you are. Perhaps I should say once you realize whose you are. Once you realize deep within you who God is to you as your Father, you can choose to worship Him without issues getting in the way. The baggage that you've held on to for a long time finally needs to be left behind. Yet we don't need to look entirely forward. We must say goodbye to all that hinders us, but it is wonderful to go back and examine our roots. As Christians, it is a blessing to visit the Holy Land. Since Tony and I have been Anglicans for a long time, we were deeply blessed while visiting Canterbury Cathedral in 2007, especially in the Thomas Becket Chapel. Kitchen Fire folk visit Toronto, Pentecostals visit Azusa Street in California, Vineyardites also visit California. Christians of other denominations could also visit the spots of where the denominational stream or movement was inspired, especially if their church began in renewal, revival, or reformation. I know that many people come to Worcester because of the Cape Revival in 1860 to 1862 and Andrew Murray. Mission sites and revival spots from church history are special places. It is there that we learn about the lives and stories of faithful Christians who have gone on before us. However, the Holy Land often surpasses all of the pilgrimage sites, the land where the Old Testament and much of the New is steeped, with the exceptions of Greece, Turkey, and Italy. While I have not yet been to Jerusalem, I've been to 4 special pilgrimage places in the UK. I would love to go to more places, but they may come later. Meanwhile, Lindisfarne remains the strongest of these places in my own life. Lindisfarne, which is also known as Holy Island, is on the northeast coast of England near Bamborough. There are many classic books on pilgrimage. 2 of these are Chaucer's Canterbury Tales and John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. Although some of us live in a Western post-Christian society with shrinking church membership, the interest in pilgrimage has not waned. The pilgrimage pull has actually increased exponentially even among non-Christians. They are interested in the journey experience. Some of these journeys include visits to Jerusalem, as well as the Roman Catholic journeys to Lourdes, Fatima, and sites in Ireland. Martin Sheen and his son Emilio Estevez made a special film about the Camino de Santiago in northern Spain. The movie is called The Way, and it is a fictional account of an American man whose son died while on the Camino journey. His father finished the journey for him as part of his own grief journey. Martin is a believer that was born in Spain, and Emilio married a Spanish girl that he met while on his own journey. I highly recommend Martin's book called Along the Way, which shares about his own journey and faith from poverty, fame, and beyond. I shared this movie at a women's retreat in Ottawa during our movie night. It inspired a friend, as well as her husband, to go on the Camino pilgrimage, which they did not once, but twice. I've been drawn to Lindisfarne Holy Island since I was a teenager. My high school history teacher, Mae Henson, shared about the Northumbrian king, Oswald, who grew up in Iona. He invited St. Aidan to come visit and love on his people, and in some visits to the people, they went together. I remember when Miss Hansen shared about this area, and my heart felt like it was on fire, and I wasn't even a Christian then. As a Christian, I have found Lindisfarne to be my own special thin place. A thin place means when the Holy Spirit is as close as a breath away, as our special saints, Aidan and Cuthbert. Not that you pray to these special saints. They're just part of the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in heaven. They are examples pointing to Jesus through their stories. Other Christians who have a Celtic background may be drawn to Wiona, which is an island in western Scotland. This special place was founded by St. Columba from Ireland. Other people have traveled as pilgrims to the places where Apostle Paul preached. Paul's journey includes numerous sites in what is now Turkey and Greece. I had once wanted to go on a tour of these places, but it didn't work out. Others cannot afford to go to the Holy Land or even Europe, so there is an option of a virtual pilgrimage. There is one option I know of near Ottawa, where Tony and I used to live. There is a virtual Holy Land walk at Bethesda Renewal Center in Ashton, Ontario, which is in the rural part of Canada's capital city. Imagine you were to view the paths from above, kind of like a drone taking photographs. The walk at Bethesda follows a similar shape of the route of the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. For Florida folk in the U.S., you can also visit a theme park in Orlando called the Holy Land Experience. I am sure that South Africa has an equivalent, perhaps the first church in the country, or Andrew Murray's first home in Graaff-Reinet. We live in Worcester, where Andrew Murray was pastor for a number of years. We've been asked by author Olia Nell to go photograph the parsonage he used to live in. We're working on that. Even the hilltop where we live was known as a place of prayer before and during the Cape Awakening of 1860 to 1862. We call it our Holy Hill, or the City on a Hill. That awakening started in the village of Montague and spread to the farms of Endadorns and Rossinville. We have visited and prayed in these areas to reopen the old wells. We also recently visited Grahamstown, which was the place where the 1820 settlers from England came and set down roots. They were to help strengthen the colonial frontier at that time. However, this wasn't a pilgrimage of faith for us, but rather one of history. Yet to think on a wider scale, why do people feel drawn to these holy places? What do people hope to glean from them? I first visited Western Ireland in 1990. I fell in love with the atmosphere of County Clare and especially the little village of Kilfenora. I found a tiny Anglican church that was in ruins. They still held a service which I attended. They had an ancient high cross nearby in the middle of a sheep field. I drew that lovely scene and I showed the photos of my drawing to the pastor I had at the time. His name was Laurie. When Laurie viewed my photos, he smiled and quoted Joshua 4, verse 21, which was when the Israelite children asked what those stones meant. This scripture was about the Israelite memorial that commemorated the crossing of the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Laurie had referred to the ruined stones of the old church and the high cross as a monument to Celtic Christianity. The Kilfenora village became a place of learning about our deep historical faith. He was right. The place was of special significance for the area of County Clare. The biblical leader Joshua reminds his people about the Gilgal memorial stones in Joshua 4, verse 21 to 24. He said, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. We, like those ancient Israelite children, are also drawn to our spiritual roots. This is a good thing, since God may draw us deeper to Himself, if we also prepare our hearts for the journey." I have always loved church history. So when I have journeyed on each of my pilgrimages, I have gained a deep appreciation for the work of God throughout history. God is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He blesses His children throughout biblical and church history. So when I go to these places, I keep my heart and my eyes open for what God would have me sense. When my husband Tony and I were in Canterbury, the headquarters of the Anglican Church, we received a deep sense of intercession from the Anglican Church. We prayed in Canterbury Cathedral, Trinity Chapel, where Thomas à Becket's relics are housed. One of my Anglican priests had prayed with me to prepare for our journey to Lindisfarne 2 years later. I had already visited the island, but not as a pilgrim. I went more for a rest after a mission trip and received a deep experience with Holy Spirit that called me to return and go deeper in that thin place. Months later, my priest prayed with me that I would learn the deep and wonderful ways of the Celtic Christians in how they handled life's difficulties and surprises. They are now part of the great cloud of witnesses, so Holy Spirit could give me any insight that I might need. When Tony and I finally were barefoot pilgrims on the low tide flats to Lindisfarne Holy Island, I was given the insight I needed. It was so simple. I had an impression of how Aidan and Cuthbert, two historical Celtic Christians, handled the difficult parts of the C-flat journey to this special island. Their difficulties were taken in stride within the context of worship and rhythm of balance. I also learned that rest can be holy. Everything needs to be taken in stride. We need not let the little things bother us. If we're honest, it usually is the little things that do bother us. We worry way too much about the things that really don't matter. When Tony and I were in Durham Cathedral 2 years later, I gave thanks for the lives of the Venerable Bede and St. Cuthbert. They were foundational for the Christian faith in Northern England. Cuthbert's tomb is still a place that inspires deep worship from the depth of your soul. The Holy Spirit's presence is very strong in that site. Many people go there to seek God, since it's a place dedicated to prayer. I also tried to visit another place connected to Cuthbert, that of the Farne Islands. Unfortunately, I couldn't get closer than the village of Seahouses. I may not have reached the place of pilgrimage, but I still had a God moment. Perhaps Holy Spirit took pity on me for making the effort and being stranded in that village until my book bus came to pick me up. Here's what I shared about that experience in an Anglican magazine. I heard about a special tour. I was about to be guided by a priest who was quite knowledgeable about the Celtic monks who had set up Holy Island as a place of prayer, discipline, missions, and learning for the ancient Northumbrian people. I also heard that the remnants of a hurricane that caused serious flooding in Wales and Birmingham was headed our way. I called the boat company to see if tours were still going on. According to the phone call, they were to continue, so I took an Arriva bus from the Berwick train station and arrived in Seahouses an hour later. After roaming around the village, I arrived at the boat kiosk for my ticket and was greeted by a sign that said, "No sailings today due to sea conditions." I was annoyed, since my trip was specifically made for that sailing. The waves had not picked up yet, but perhaps they took my warning question seriously. I inquired at the bus stop for return bus, but all the buses except one were from a different company, and the Arriva return bus wasn't to come for another 5 hours. So I went to the local pub and watched the waves through the window. In time, I returned to the bus stop and sheltered under the overhang of a local shop, while the whole village shut down. By this time, the whitecap waves were quite high, the wind was strong, and the rain heavy. You would think that I would be miserable under those conditions. A tour, hoped for, cancelled last minute. Being stranded in this weather on what was supposed to be a holiday. Yet my misery was changed in a moment when I was listening to the Christian band Delirious on my iPod. The song was Solid Rock, which is based on the hymn On Christ the Solid Rock, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Martin Smith sang about the waves coming crashing down, but not harming us because we were standing on Christ the Solid Rock. As I was listening and watching those waves crash on the Seahouses Harbor, my eyes grew big and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. He was here, even in the midst of this weather. I was filled with a deep peace and strange joy. What I expected to receive on the inner Farne Island during a visit to that isolated chapel, I received instead at a very wet bus stop. Now I'll get back to the pilgrimage sites. I visited what is believed to be St. Patrick's resting place in Downpatrick Cathedral, County Down. While the local Catholics were actually praying to Patrick, I gave thanks to the Lord for a great missionary. I wanted to learn more about him. I wanted to learn not just the legend of Patrick, but who he really was. I wanted to know how he depended on the Lord and how I could grow in my faith because of his example. I had always loved church history, and at one time, I wanted to take a doctorate in the discipline. I especially focused on the history of missions, renewals, and movements for God. We can learn a lot from those who have gone before us. These Christians are now part of the great cloud of witnesses that is mentioned in Hebrews 21, verse 1. We are not alone in our faith. The places that are left behind become testimony to the lives of these people, as well as how God used them to draw people closer to himself. I'm sure the Holy Land is like this, only more so. Every time I've asked someone who has been to Israel what it's like, they tell me that it's a very deep experience for them. This experience of actually walking the same land where Jesus and his disciples also walked is very powerful. I pray that someday you too will have the experience of journeying to the deep roots of your faith. But don't wait until you get there to prepare your hearts. Work on preparing them now, so that you receive what God has for you at that time. Our life and faith is a journey, and we are doing this together. Here is a prayer from Thomas Merton about the journey as a pilgrim. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you, and I strive never to do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though. I may seem to be lost, and even in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my struggles alone. Lord, I ask you to open our eyes to see you along with us on our journey, just like you opened the eyes of the two disciples on the journey to Emmaus. Draw us to the places that we may encounter you more deeply than we would in everyday life. Yet stay with us in all we do. Draw us closer as we seek you. Help us to learn and to gather all we need for our journey. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Go in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Stand.
And that was Delirious with Solid Rock, based on the hymn written by Edward Mote, who lived between 1797 and 1874. My hope is built on nothing less. I have to say, I think I prefer the Delirious version, but I love the original too. At around this time, for the last year or so, there's been a music camp for children from Avian Park, Rudeval, and Riverview. This is presented by Teachers of the Nations. That's Dr. Mella Davis's organization. I interviewed Mella on the very first CWCP program that we did. And she brings in two missionaries from Canada, Craig and Krista McLaughlin, and Christine Rurink from Holland, who has designed the program. And the three of them really give good value to these children. And at the end of the week, on Saturday, they'll be giving a concert, a public concert, in the Glory Hall. That's this Saturday, the 4th of August, at 7 o'clock. I was lucky enough to be present at yesterday's camp, and I naturally recorded some of the music and got a brief interview with Christine. So here's a sample for you. I love the sound of children singing this kind of music, don't you? Christine Rurink has been teaching the children and preparing them for a concert at the end of the week in this music camp. Christine, what's your main objective? What are you trying to give the children this week?
The main thing is that I want to give them, I could say musical skills, but musical skills is not the most important thing. What I see is that they grow in their self-confidence, and that in the beginning they sing softly, and they are kind of afraid to sing, to express themselves. And now they know the songs, and now they know how to express them. Then, so it's self-confidence, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. How do you think it's going to go on the actual concert?
It will be well, because it's not about only about singing perfectly. It's about worshiping God.
I think it's going to be great. I really do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Okay, listen. Two times we sing normal. The word of God's alive. and bow four sharp and then into eight short. So we do that two times. Then we go to
the word of God is alive and powerful.
Defining.
Defining soul and spirit.
I hope you loved the sound of those beautiful voices with the children. And if you want to see them in person in their final performance, then, as I said earlier, they're giving a concert at 7 p.m. this Saturday at the Glory Hall, which is in the YWAM base. It's the big auditorium as you enter the YWAM base. And as far as I know, there's no charge. Just come and give your support and maybe take some videos or something like that. I've always loved music, and we have a huge collection of music in many, many genres, from pop to classical to jazz, everything except one or two extreme genres that I don't like. I'd like to play you just a few tunes that you may not have heard before, which I think are good, and to fit some extra ones in, I'm just playing shortened versions of them. So just sit back and enjoy. I don't know if I get all of these in, but I'm going to start with American Spring, then Matt Bellamy with the International Blitzen Trapper, TV Carpio, and Bob Bossin and the Velvet Underground, not necessarily in that order. I thank you for listening. Look forward to speaking again with you, as Laurie does, a week from today. And I hope you've enjoyed the show. God bless you all. Yeah.
I think you'll understand. got something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh, please say to me you'll let me be your inside. It's such a feeling that my love I can't hide, I can't hide, I can't hide. Yeah, you got that.
Second hand, she's got kids in their teens, got a deadbeat ex-husband, and love like a Jehovah's Witness banging on her door again. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Shirley Ann. Shirley Ann was homecoming queen once upon a time. He knocked her up and she married him. 13 years go by. He never brought her flowers, I would have if I was him. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Shirley Ann. Everybody's heart's been busted, everybody's been knocked down. Everybody knows love can't be trusted, take a couple counts. And love comes back like a tomcat rubbing against your skin. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Shirley Ann took up with a drummer who loved her to the bone. They made love every day that summer, then his wife came home.
So don't you start,
she says,
singing that song again. Come on, come on, come on, come on,
for that painter, sinker, hook and line. He carved his initials in her, then left with a girl of 25. Me, I'd never break your heart, I just want the chance. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Shirley Ann.
Everybody's heart's been busted, everybody's been knocked down.
Everybody knows love can't be trusted. Take a couple counts, and love comes back like a tomcat rubbing against your skin. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Shirley Ann. Shirley Ann's got a washing machine, got it second hand.
kids a trampoline, got the car running again, and she's got a sailor's heart trembling in her hand. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Shirley Ann. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Shirley Ann. Maybe there can be no true love, but maybe there can. Shirley.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.